It's Holden Kushner. It's the Denver CityCast and the Bet Rivers Network. Got a lot going on today. Talk a little bit of Broncos here with the defensive coordinator position up in the air, but a lot of nuggets as they head into the All-Star break as the number one team in the West and the second best record in the NBA as well. College basketball season here. The NFL's finally over. We'll be capping a whole bunch of college hoops, which we were pretty successful at last season. It'll be Colorado at Arizona State. Get you the lines, get you my play from there. And then baseball, pitchers and catchers, they're here. And we got some new rules in Major League Baseball, so we'll talk about that as well. But let's start with the Broncos. The futures odds have been nuts. So before Sean Payton was hired, they were 40-1 to win the Super Bowl. Sean Payton's hired, and all of this money comes in on the Broncos to push it down to plus 2,500, which is 25-1. Now, they're sitting at 30-1. So cooler heads have prevailed, and the Broncos, no longer at 25-1, they're actually behind the Jets and a couple other teams they were tied with about a week ago. Anyways, the Broncos were 13-1 to win the AFC. That's now dropped to 16-1, and I'm not betting either side of this thing. Let's face it, just because Sean Payton's here, I do think this team is in play for 10 wins. I think that a 9-8 record would be okay, although there's a limited window here to get a deep playoff run with Russell Wilson. I mean, how many of us really think he's got 3-4 elite years left? So we'll see. Sean Payton, I believe, and a lot of other people obviously believe, that he's going to put Wilson and the rest of this team in the best position. But the defensive coordinator is up for grabs here. For those of you that don't think the defensive coordinator position is that important of a position, and I don't think there's too many of you that don't think it's a very important position, but the head coach of the defense is out there, and Sean Payton's going to name this man. So here's some of the news that's coming out right now. We know that the Seahawks associate head coach Sean Desai is out there, and he's a Fangio disciple. He was with Fangio for 4 years. I love Vic Fangio, by the way, as a coordinator. As a head coach, he stinks. Didn't think that he would be coming back here. Although, you know what? There's some interesting news that I'll tell you about in a minute. But a lot of guys that come from this Fangio system seem to be very good defensive coordinators. He worked with Fangio for 4 years, like I said. He's got 1 year of experience as a defensive coordinator. He's with the Bears back in 2021. And that year, the Bears finished 6th in total defense, 13th in DVOA, which made him kind of a middling defense. But when the Bears fired Matt Nagy, that was the end, and Desai had to go to Seattle. So you've got Seattle here and Desai coming over from there. Rex Ryan's the next one, 5,280 feet. That's a Rex Ryan joke. Rex Ryan is interesting because, first of all, very outspoken man, has a relationship, a prior relationship with Sean Payton, which is good to know the man that you could be working for. His brother Rob worked for Sean Payton as defensive coordinator. Wasn't too great there, but with New Orleans. But, you know, Rex Ryan with the Ravens, brilliant defensive coordinator. With the Jets, decent head coach, brilliant defensive coordinator there. Had a great defense with the Jets as well. Actually helped them beat the Patriots in the playoffs with Tom Brady one season. Rex Ryan's a splashy name. Rex Ryan has been very outspoken on ESPN. Has the game passed him by? We'll find out. We'll find out, because if Sean Payton hires him, I've got to think that the game has not passed Rex Ryan by. Then there's Mike Zimmer. Zimmer and Payton going way back to when they were both with the Cowboys. And Zimmer has been in this league for a long time. He's in his mid-60s. He knows defense. He knows defense. He could have a job at Colorado, though, at CU with Deion Sanders. I think any of these three I'd be 100% fine with. You got to trust Sean Payton and Sean Payton's judgment. And this will be the most important hire that Sean Payton makes. He's the head coach of the offense. He's the head coach of the team, but the head coach of the defense, he said whoever he hires, that's the guy. Here's the twist. And what a twist this is. The Broncos have requested permission to talk with Vance Joseph. Our old head coach here from 17 and 18. Now, he is under contract, Joseph is, with Arizona, but Jonathan Gannon is going to run the defense in Arizona, so Joseph will probably be looking for a job. And the NFL and really business itself never burn any bridges. Vance Joseph burned no bridges here, and it's a whole new regime. But a guy that failed as the head coach could totally redeem himself as defensive coordinator here. So again, the list as it stands right now, Sean Desai, Rex Ryan, Mike Zimmer, Vance Joseph, could be a couple of mystery candidates as well. But you got to put your faith in Sean Payton at this point to make the right move for what is going to be the second most important hire of the offseason. Okay, let's get into number two on the front range for the four biggest sports stories on the front range. And that's going to be the Denver Nuggets. Oh boy, it is fascinating as you look at the odds here on Bet Rivers, where the Suns are the favorite to get out of the West. So they went out, they picked up Kevin Durant. The Nuggets were the favorite before at plus 300. The Clippers were right there, but the Suns have leapfrogged them. The Suns are 9 games behind the Nuggets, by the way, in the West. Suns 2-1 to win the West. Nuggets plus 275. So that went from 300 down to 275. The Clippers plus 450. Those are the top three. Now, for the championship, Celtics, overwhelming favorites at plus 340. Suns plus 450. Then it goes Bucks 5-1 and Nuggets 6-1. So the Nuggets fourth to win the championship. You want to know something else that's crazy? This morning when I woke up, Nikola Jokic was minus 177 to win the MVP. 2 hours after I saw this, he's now minus 230 to win the MVP, and I'll tell you about that in just a moment. But the Nuggets at the break, they head into it on a 3-game win streak. Last night was spectacular with that win over a shorthanded Dallas group. But you know who else was shorthanded? The Nuggets. No Jamal Murray, no Aaron Gordon. Nikola Jokic was kind of invisible in the first half, had 2 assists at halftime, ends up with another triple-double. When Jokic records a triple-double, this team is 21-0, and we are betting triple-doubles at home for Nikola Jokic, even though the number is sitting at minus 110, it seems like, every single night. You know, this is a number that Jokic was sitting around 3-1 at the beginning of the season, quickly went to 2-1, and then over the last 6 weeks or so, you're getting just about even money. I could see this thing, you know, these lines for the triple-double opening at minus 130 or so going forward, and you've got to start talking to yourself, when is too much juice for a triple-double? But he does it seemingly every freaking game at home. It's amazing. And the Nuggets are an NBA best, 27-4 at home. So again, Jokic at home recording triple-doubles, on the road not as consistently doing that. But the Nuggets lead the West by 5 games over Memphis. They are 41-18. They're 1 game behind the Celtics for the best record in the NBA. And the bench is improving rapidly. Christian Brown, my fellow Jayhawk, completely legit. Thomas Bryant, we'll see how much he can add. Basically, you're looking for him to just give Jokic some breathers in the regular season and some breathers in the postseason, because Jokic can be playing some major minutes then too. I love the Reggie Jackson acquisition. He's going to have a key role. Chanchar has shown massive improvement this season. So remember last year they tried to fix the bench. They brought in Bryn Forbes and DeMarcus Cousins. This bench is so much better than it was, A, at the beginning of the season, and B, than it was last year. This is a legitimate championship bench now that you have behind the best player in the league, a surging Jamal Murray, and Aaron Gordon having his second best season in the NBA. Let's look at some Nuggets betting trends, because I'll tell you, as far as them winning the West, you're probably going to get a better number if the Suns get on fire. So I'm not ready to fire with them at plus 275, although we did hit a plus 300 earlier. I don't want to double dip there, but that's fine. And as far as winning the title, 6-1 for the Nuggets. That was 8-1 recently. I only see that number going down probably to plus 500. So if you think the Nuggets are going to win the championship, I think this is the time to hit it right now. But Here's some betting trends. 10-6 against the spread with a rest disadvantage. Interesting. You know, these teams playing on back-to-back. 10-6 with a rest disadvantage. So the Nuggets have done very well in that situation. Only five teams have been better against the spread, and the Nuggets have been crushing against the spread recently. 32-26-1 ATS. Only five teams better against the spread, and they are spectacular at home. 20-10-1 against the spread at home. They just keep covering here. Jokic triple-doubles at home, against the spread at home. But let's go look at this MVP race real quick, and I'll tell you why this line jumped from minus 177 to minus 230 in the span of about 2 hours. ESPN had their straw poll for the MVP, okay? And Jokic, this is the second straw poll they have. Last year, Jokic was not part of the first straw poll. As the season went on, there was a big story that came out from this. And this really does factor into handicapping the MVP. That's how much power ESPN has with the NBA. They came out with this straw poll last year. Jokic was the favorite from the beat writers. And then the odds got to a point where you couldn't even bet him. Well, now I think we're at that position again. We haven't had back-to-back-to-back MVPs in the NBA in almost 40 years. So Jokic is about to go into rarefied air. The second edition of ESPN's NBA MVP straw poll. That's where we are right now. And he is running away with it, Jokic is. He got 77 of the 100 first place votes. Jokic is averaging a triple-double, 24.7 points, 11.5 rebounds, 10 assists. Oscar Robertson and Russell Westbrook, the only two that have ever done this over the course of a full season in NBA history. Oscar Robertson, who the old-timers say is the best, some of the old-timers say he's the best player they've ever seen, and Russell Westbrook. Denver's also number one in the West. So you've got Jokic, overwhelming favorite in the straw poll. Giannis had 11 first-place votes. 77 for Jokic, 11 for Giannis. Then it went Embiid, Jason Tatum, and Luka. So Jokic was fourth in this straw poll back in December. It's too late. Minus 230, we're not messing with it. Embiid's not going to catch him. Embiid's banged up. Giannis probably ain't going to catch him. Tatum ain't going to catch him. This thing is Nikola Jokic's to lose. He stays healthy. He wins the MVP for the third straight time. And then we're talking about him as one of the greatest NBA players in the history of the league. And then if he gets a title, forget about it. I mean, we'll be talking about him as one of the 10 greatest players in the history of the NBA. I do want to talk about something from the trade deadline, though, that I want to get off my chest that I didn't talk about with Bones Hyland. A couple thoughts on Bones. Who needed to be shipped out? Although the return, the 2 second-round picks, that was very weak. But I'm going to go as far to say that Bones Hyland was a malcontent here. Okay? Here's what he said. He said, I felt like I never had the opportunity to showcase my playmaking ability and be able to play that point guard role a lot and show I'm just more than a scorer. I'm actually a point guard, and I offer that at a high level. Well, when Nikola Jokic is your point guard and Jamal Murray is the other point guard, these guys are much, much better than Bones Hyland. So fine, he forced his way out. He took shots at Jamal Murray. He left the bench early, possibly left the whole arena in the middle of a game. 100%, as much as we love Bones Hyland when he was here and the energy he brought, he needed to be shipped out. I mean, where does this guy get off being a malcontent, given that he has not done much in the NBA? He's sitting on possibly the best team in the NBA, and he wants to go out and get traded? Tells you a lot about Bones Hyland. On the outside, seems like a great guy. On the inside, taking shots now as he's with the Clippers. He's taking shots at Jamal Murray. Absolutely ridiculous. This team is better without Bones Hyland right now. Reggie Jackson's going to take his role. Bruce Brown's still here. Christian Brown developing into a crucial role player. And honestly, I think Brown, long-term, is just going to be the better player when it's all said and done. So good riddance, Bones Hyland. Unfortunately, Calvin Booth couldn't get more for him, but this is just the way things pan out. Number three on the front range four, let's talk some Colorado hoops, some CU hoops, some Buffs hoops. They are at Arizona State late night. Here is a refresher on their season. They're 14-12, 6-9, had a two-game win streak snapped on Saturday. They lost 73-62 to Utah. This game tonight against Arizona State, Colorado's actually 59th in KenPom. No way they're getting to the NCAA tournament unless they run the table here in the Pac-12 and either win the Pac-12 tournament or maybe get to the finals. It's just, at this point, they need to go on a run, and they really can't lose any games. For those of you that are not familiar with the Buffs, they got KJ Simpson, their sophomore. He's 6'2", leads the team in scoring, 16.2 points per game. You've got Tristan Da Silva, 16 points per game, 42% three-point shooter. These are the two scorers for Colorado right now. Now, we look at the numbers in this game, and I got a fun little bet for you. Okay, so Colorado open as 3.5-point dogs. They are now sitting at 4-point dogs as I tape this late Thursday morning, plus 155 money line. Total is 139. Now, Colorado failed to cover as a 4-point dog against Utah. I told you about that. They're 3-6 in their last 9 games. So things are not really going swimmingly for this team, to say the least. They're 11-2 at home, but they stink on the road. In neutral games, they're 3-10. Arizona State, on the other hand, is horrible against the spread. 1-8 over the last 9 games ATS. So here's the lines that I have in this game. Oh, and also Arizona State was down 15 at the half, down 13 with like 6 minutes left in the first game against Colorado up in Boulder. And Colorado ended up blowing that game. Arizona covered that game. My lines for this game, again, it's 4. I've got Colorado plus 3.5. And I got the total sitting at 135.5. Right now it's minus, it's 139. So here's what I like. We go back to these same game parlays that work for us in the NFL. What we want to do is manipulate the side and the total to the point to where we feel comfortable that both are going to cover and it's as close to even money as possible. So I'm going to take that 4, all right? And I'm going to give the Buffs plus 8. Again, I think they're probably 3-5 points worse than Arizona State tonight. I'm going to bump this all the way to 8. As far as the total goes, you got a couple teams that play up tempo. This total is 139. I can get it all the way down to 130 to the over. So here's the play. Official play tonight on Bet Rivers. We're going to take a same game parlay. So go to same game parlay, take the total, jack it up from 4 to 8, Buffs plus 8. Take the total, take it down from 139 to 130, put them together. It's minus 103, basically even money here. Buffs plus 8, over 130, minus 103. Let's move on to number 4 on the Front Range for the 4 biggest sports stories on the Front Range. Major League Baseball has some new rules, folks, and I love them. Baseball purists, they hate all the changes Manfred is doing. I think Manfred is a debacle as a commissioner, but I do like the fact that this game is changing and they're trying to manipulate it going back to when it was a faster pace. And there's a pitch timer this year, a 30-second timer between batters. So no longer play your intro music and mosey on up to the plate. You got to get your butt up there. And then there's a 15-second timer between each pitch with the bases empty, a 20-second timer between each pitch with runners on base. And I'm telling you right now, this is going to speed up the game, and it's going to make the game easier to watch. So the pitcher has to go into his motion prior to the expiration of the timer, or he's charged with an automatic ball. That's going to make pitchers want to move it a little quicker. Pitch times. Okay, these pitch times in the minor leagues last year shaved 25 minutes off the average minor league game last season. The fact that games were going 3.5 hours is one thing. I think it's the pace of how the 3.5 hours goes. So let's say this takes the average game down to maybe 2 hours and 45 minutes. But instead of just being a slow 2 hours and 45 minutes, where we've got a minute between pitches or 50 seconds between pitches, now it's rapid fire. I love this. I love this. I get it, Major League Baseball purists. You hate it. You don't. Baseball's a game without a timer. Well, now it's got a timer. It needs a timer because it got too slow. The next thing, shift restrictions. I love this. I'm sick of the shift. As the pitch is thrown, the defensive team has to have at least 4 players within the outer boundary of the infield. So You've got two. You got your shortstop and third baseman have to be on one side. First base, second base have to be on the other side. We're not going to have five guys sitting on the right side of the infield. That's not going to be able to happen anymore. Now, the outfielders can still shift, but it's absolutely ridiculous how this game has changed to the point to where, you know, you have to hit the ball exactly in this spot. Let's just go back to the old days where if you hit the ball and it lands, you get a base hit. So I like some of the old school principles, but I also love the new school changes to this. If you are out of bounds when the shift occurs, there's a ball there too. You get charged with a ball. And last but not least, the bigger bases. Bases are 18 inches now on both sides, 3 inches bigger, okay, on all sides. It's 18 inches, used to be 15 inches. Not that big of a difference, but the players are going to have more room to operate around the bases. You'll reduce injury as the players, their base runners sliding into the fielder. I'm hoping that maybe this allows base runners to steal a little bit more too. You're getting a little bit more room. And then we've had so many times with a replay, the base runner comes off the bag for a tenth of a second and he's tagged. Hopefully this will give the base runner more room to not come off the bag so we don't have this ticky-tack replay. Those are the big changes with the MLB new rules. And I'm looking forward to seeing how this affects betting. I'm looking forward to it because I feel like the shift restrictions are now going to add more runs onto this. And we'll see how it plays off. I don't think we can extrapolate anything from April just because of the cold weather around the league. But I think by the end of May, early June, we'll know how these changes are affecting sides and totals. And they will. Okay, next on the Denver CityCast and the Bet Rivers Network, Mark Springer, Altitude 92.5. What the heck is going on with the Avs again? My friend, I'll introduce you here and just get right into it. What the hell is going on with the Avalanche, man? Every time I'm starting to buy in again, they take three steps back. Talk to me.
Well, and then I'm sure you watched last night on TNT where they took, I don't know, at least one step forward. I don't know. That was a really nice win last night. Second night of a back-to-back. They had to get on an airplane after playing the same team that they played in the Cup Final, a la the Eastern Conference champions. It's a quality opponent that they got a point against at home. And then, you know, they had a scheduled loss the following night, which was last night in Minnesota. And Minnesota was desperate. Both the Avs and Wild had 61 points coming into last night's game, fighting for that third spot in the Central Division. You would have thought Minnesota on their home ice, they were 3-7 in their last 10. They really needed that one. And they outshot the Avs 43-19, but the Avs won 3-2. Because the Avs will do this thing where they play some pretty solid hockey. Now, they got really good goaltending from Georgiev last night. He saved 41 out of 43 saves. Josh Manson was back in the lineup last night. That was absolutely huge. The reason, Holden, that this team has been so up and down is the injuries. And Josh Manson is just one example. He's been out since December 1st. And he comes back 2.5 months later, and he lays several massive hits last night, had some huge defensive plays. You know, keep in mind, last night and for the past few games, Cale Makar has been out after Jeff Carter got a shoulder into his head, and that went unpunished from the league. Apparently, even if it's a total accident, you can concuss the best young defenseman. Scratch that. The best defenseman in the league. Scratch that. The best defenseman of all time. You can do that.
Settle down.
But look, if Cale was in the lineup, maybe that Lightning game a couple nights ago goes a little differently. Gabe Landeskog has been out. It seems like his timeline just keeps getting pushed back and back and back. I sure hope he's available for game one of the playoffs. That was the situation last year. Gabe missed a few weeks before game one of the playoffs. I hope that's the case this year. They need to make a move at the deadline. There's no doubt about that. They're going to have to get a good name at the deadline. But right now, this team is going to do that thing where they look a little good and then maybe they dip a little bit. It's a product of the roster. You know, the Edmonton Oilers are a great example. You can have McDavid. You can have Draisaitl. You need a full team. Right now, the Avs are close. They just don't have a full team.
Yeah, you're talking about Makar. That's big. So Landeskog was supposed to be back by now, right? And it just keeps getting pushed back and back and back. How big has this loss really been? Because I don't think anybody expected them to be missing Landeskog for this long.
Yeah, no, it's been huge. And, you know, you also have to keep in mind that they don't have Nazem Kadri and they don't have Andrei Burakovsky from last season. Now, Landeskog's not a true center like Nazem Kadri, but you're missing that big, physical, very talented, skilled body. Not having Gabe Landeskog on this team, that's their captain. That's absolutely huge. So they need to get Landeskog back. They need to fill the Kadri void. I do think that Evan Rodriguez has filled the Burakovsky void. He's not a goal scorer like Andrei Burakovsky, but what he has contributed to this team essentially negates that. But you're still missing those two holes. We're talking about Gabe Landeskog and Nazem Kadri. Those were gigantic cogs to what the Avs were able to do to win the Cup. They needed every single body available to them to win the Stanley Cup. It took them six games. It's not like they swept the Tampa Bay Lightning. It's not like it was this lights-out Cup Finals. You needed Nazem Kadri to come back from his broken hand. He played with pins, freshly placed pins in his hand in that game where he scored the overtime winner, game four in Tampa. You needed everybody. So if you don't have a Landeskog right now, if you don't have the true replacement for Nazem Kadri, then yes, there's no surprise that the Avs are in third in the Central. If they were 100% healthy, they might very well be in first in this division. Injuries, I know people say, oh, it's an excuse. It's also the reality of the situation. Talent matters.
Okay. Let's keep going here, but move on to the, and by the way, real quick. So I was overreacting to them going 3-3 in their last six, the loss of the Ducks, the loss of the Penguins, which was, I mean, they just dominated that game and lost late there, the shootout to the Lightning, and then the win over the Wild. Am I overreacting here over the last six, seven games?
I mean, look, obviously the worst loss of their recent stretch was getting crushed 5-0 in Tampa, right? Mm-hmm. Now, earlier this season, they lost 5-0 in Winnipeg. Look, this Avs team is going to throw some stinkers in there like that this season. This is not last year's team. Now, when the trade deadline gets here in a couple weeks on March 2nd or 3rd, whatever it is, you know, maybe that acquisition gets them closer to what they were. Maybe Landeskog coming back gets them closer to what they were. You know, the timeline on Landeskog, he was supposed to start skating coming back from the All-Star break. We haven't heard much. I think Gabe Landeskog sacrificed his knee in last year's playoffs. Remember, he had a cleanup knee surgery a few weeks before the playoffs started, and then he came back game one of the playoffs. I think he came back too soon. I think if it was a normal knee surgery recovery situation, Landeskog would have missed the playoffs, but he gutted it out. He knew his team needed him for the playoffs. So once these guys get back, you might see stinkers like that start to go away. But from a betting perspective, Holden, I don't know if you've noticed this recently, but last season, overs were the play with the Avs.
Unders
this
now.
Season, unders are the play with the Avs. I mean, this has turned into an under team. And the Avs have some ridiculous record. I'm ballparking here. I haven't counted it up over the past few games, but it's got to be something like 24-2-1. When they allow two or fewer goals. Yes, when they allow two or fewer goals, they win. This is now a more defensive-minded team. It's a more just a more cleaner style of play team. They're playing playoff hockey right now. Playoff hockey is – playoff sports in general is traditionally more lower scoring. That's what the Avs are doing this season.
Okay, let's move on to Jokic real quick. Straw poll comes out. Jokic MVP odds minus 177 down to, now we're looking at minus 230. What a joke. How surprised are you? Because I think this guy's going to win three straight and hasn't happened in 40 years. And the other guys that did it are top 10 players all time. I really believe if he wins a championship, we'll be talking about him as one of the top 10 players ever in the history of the game.
Yeah, all value has been lost in Jokic winning MVP. Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, so if you haven't gotten in on it yet, then you could still do it. You're probably going to hit, but it's not necessarily worth it because at minus 200 or whatever you're getting it in that range right now, that's just not worth it. But that being said, yeah, no, the Nuggets are extremely interesting right now, and the Kevin Durant trade shakes up the West a ton. Phoenix does look like they're going to be tough. Dallas didn't have Kyrie Irving last night, but Jokic he had a modest triple-double last night, like the 14-13-10 variety. But the Nuggets are like 25-0 in the last 25 times Jokic gets a triple-double. He's absolutely insane, and this roster has been tailored around him, a la the Bones Highland trade. If you're not on board, if you don't align with Jokic's vision, which is team first, and you know, keep your head low, keep your mouth shut. I mean, that's as Jokic as it gets right there. Jokic is as modest a superstar as we've seen in some time. Then you're out. And so Bones Highland's out. You know, this team has championship aspirations. And, you know, quite honestly, when you look at the Nuggets and the Avs, which team has a better chance of winning the championship? Like right now, today, you got to say it's the Nuggets. That could change here in a few days, depending on what the Avs do at the trade deadline. But right now, I would say the Nuggets. Look, the Suns scare me. When Steph is back, the Warriors are always going to scare me. But, you know, this is a brand new Suns unit that's getting together. This Jokic core has been together for a while now. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this Nuggets team is going to be a blast to watch in the playoffs. And I have no problem sticking with them to win the West, even despite the acquisition for Phoenix of Kevin Durant.
Well, I mean, that thing has changed too, because the Nuggets are plus 275 to win the West. The Suns are 2-1. So that's really going to come down to what you think the Nuggets do in the playoffs. I love the addition to the bench. I just think the bench is so much better without Bones Highland. Christian Brown is going to be better than Bones. He might already be better than Bones all around. Bruce Brown's still here. Reggie Jackson's a great pickup. Love his toughness. Backup point guard. And Thomas Bryant's going to give Jokic some rest in the playoffs. As far as the West goes, plus 275. They're actually plus 300, but the Suns are plus 200. I don't feel great about that bet anymore, to be perfectly honest with you. I'm not placing the bet. I already have a plus 300 on him. I don't feel as good about it anymore. I need to see him do it before I buy into it. And the Suns have gotten to the finals, at least.
Mm-hmm. The Suns have, but not with Kevin Durant playing with Booker and Paul. And now with Bridges and Johnson going to the Nets, I mean, look, I know campaign is hurt. He'll be back after... Their bench, their depth is going to be an issue. Now, your rotations can go as short as seven deep in the playoffs. I'm sure that KD and Booker and Ayton and Paul are going to get a ton of minutes in the playoffs, but what if one of them gets hurt? Chris Paul's getting older. Kevin Durant's had playoff injuries before. Devin Booker's been hurt this year. I think it's a little too good to be true that you can just acquire Kevin Durant at the deadline. Now, maybe this is my Nuggets bias coming in, because I sure would love to see this core that was drafted together. You know, all of these guys are Nuggets draft picks. And yeah, there's been injuries, so chemistry could have been, you know, negated there. But Murray and Jokic have played so much together. Michael Porter Jr. is playing the best basketball of his career right now. And you talk about the bench hold, and, you know, I love a little sneaky addition like a Reggie Jackson, who they're going to sign to be their backup point guard to replace Bones. Buying him out, the Clippers did, and now the Nuggets are going to sign him. Bruce Brown off the bench is a great option. I just think the Nuggets depth right now, and you add a Thomas Bryant to spell Jokic for 6 to 10 minutes a game in the playoffs. It's, if you want to talk the truest, deepest rotation in the West, I think it's the Nuggets. You'd have to look at like the Celtics in the East as the other team with as good of a deep rotation.
Hey, my friend, plug everything you're doing over there at Altitude 92.5, because you do a lot. You do it well.
Sure do. The Blitz, most
every night. Sure, did you say I sure do?
Sure do.
I love it.
The Blitz, myself and Mark Bertinoli, most every night, 6 p.m. Varies how long we go, depending on when our teams play. And then after most every Avs game, we didn't have one last night because we were on AM radio.
Yeah.
My boy Raj is sick. I had to do Berto's job. I did the network post game. But most nights, between the pipes, after every Avs game.
Hey, my friend, thanks for hopping on. Springer, thank you, Melissa, Adam, Terry, behind the scenes. I'm Holden Kushner. Follow me on Twitter, at Holden Radio, and I'll be back on Monday. Let's see if we can bring this Buffs bet home again. We're going to go same game parlay, +8 and over 130 at -103. Thanks for checking out the Denver City Cast on the Bet Rivers Network.
Thanks for listening to the Denver City Cast on the Bet Rivers Network.